6:41 p.m. First item on the agenda is approval of minutes from the October 21st board meeting. Is there a motion to approve those?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, good second.
I should put this on. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There are none.
I have to abstain.
Yes, okay, Kathy abstained, she wasn't here last time, fine. So that, the minutes are approved from the last meeting. Okay, the case tonight is number 13-12525. The applicant is Jay Sparks from Sparks Design. On behalf of David and Judy Clifford, who are the property owners, requested the variance to maintain a rear yard setback of 20 feet in lieu of 30 feet as required by the zoning code for the expansion of the existing attached garage at 7295 Greenway Avenue in a single residential family district. Let me read first the order of how we're going to proceed tonight. I'll read the standards for granting variances. I'll ask anyone with exhibits to have them marked by the court reporter if they haven't done so already. I'll open a public hearing and swear on anyone who wishes to testify. The zoning administrator will show photos of the property. The applicant or the representative will state their position. The zoning administrator will state the city's position. I'll ask the board members, have they made site visits, and if so, to please give a verbal description, or you can read from a written description of the site visit that you might have made in contact with your property owner. I'll then close the public hearing.
What's going on?
I'll close the public hearing. There'll be a discussion by the board and a vote. And we need to document reasons for approval and disapproval, which Mr. Greetens will do as a zoning administrator. And I will note that board members may break in at any time to ask questions. Okay, so the standards for granting a variance. The Board of Adjustment shall not grant a variance unless it shall, in each case, make specific written findings of fact directly based upon a particular evidence presented to it that support the following conclusions. One, the variance requested arises from a condition which is unique to the property in question and which is not ordinarily found in the same zoning district and is not created by an action or actions of the property owner or the applicant. Two, the strict application of the provisions of the zoning code from which a variance is requested will constitute unnecessary hardship upon the property owner representing the application. The variance requested will not adversely affect the adjacent properties for public health, safety, order, convenience, or general welfare of the community. And four, granting the variance desired will not violate the general spirit and intent of the zoning code. I note that a 4-to-1 requirement or approval is required for granting approval of any request. 3-to-1 does not do it, and just simple majority does not do it. Okay. Is there anyone with exhibits to have them marked by the court reporter has not done so yet?
Mr. Chair, I have several. Okay, I've got documentation of publication in a newspaper in accordance with Article 15 of the zoning ordinance, a copy of the notice of public hearing that was sent to property owners within 185 feet. I have the zoning ordinance, and then also the material submitted by the applicant, and then I also have one copy of an email that was submitted by the property owners at 7298 Greenway, and then a letter from the property owner to the east at 7287 Greenway, and a letter from the property owner to the west at 580 Purdue.
Thank you. Just for the record, were those letters in favor or opposed? I think you've only forwarded one of those to us.
Yes, the received two this evening. And I'll read those for the record.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. Let me open a public hearing and swear on anyone who wishes to testify. Would you please stand and raise your right hand? And Zach, I need you too. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you?
I do. Yes.
Thank you very much. Zach, you want to show the photos of the property?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, this was a copy of the aerial map that was submitted with the material. This is 7295 Greenway Avenue. It's Greenway Avenue, Purdue Avenue. It's on a corner of Greenway and Purdue. This is the existing garage that is subject to the subject this evening. It's a single-family residential neighborhood predominantly. You can see the typical shape of the lots as to the east and to the west, and then the difference in the shape of the lots here on the corner. This is a photo of this is 7295 Greenway, the house at the subject property. This is taken from the north of the house, looking to the east. You can see a portion of the existing one-story garage that's proposed to be expanded. This is 580 Purdue. This is from the south side of the subject property. Here is 7295 Greenway. You can see a portion of the existing garage here, the driveway that runs along the southeastern property boundary, and this is the property to the east, 7287 Greenway. And this is just a little bit closer view where you can see the existing garage proposed to be expanded. The property line runs along this wall and then along this rear fence.
Can you stop right there?
Yes.
What is this structure up in the top right?
That is the neighbor's detached garage to the east.
Okay.
Here.
Okay.
So that's within the setback zones too. It's probably been up a long time.
Correct. Yeah. Like a lot of older garages in University City, the legal nonconforming doesn't comply with the current setbacks.
Okay. Thank you.
And then this is just another, the existing garage, one story, and the slope dips down as a vehicle would enter the garage, and then the proposed expansion going this way. And then I also have the site plan that was submitted, the two site plans submitted by the applicant, but I'll leave that to them. This is the existing garage, and then and these were also in the packet. And those are all the slides.
Again, that horizontal line that goes through that corner there, through the vertical line coming through the corner of the right corner of the garage is the 30-foot setback line.
Correct, this is the 30-foot setback.
You can see how much on the other one, but he proposed an extension, you can see where it includes there.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. The applicant, Mrs. Sparks, you wish to state your position, please?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Could you please turn on the microphone?
I'm sorry. Just work it back up. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't see that.
That's okay.
New technology. The particular site, give you a little background, is a house built in 28. It's unusual that this approach would have been taken, but they actually depressed the garage. For two reasons. One, it allowed there to be a paved area for outdoor living, which is used that way today. And probably more importantly, there's not a garage that is pushed up right next to the house, blocking windows in the existing house. So the top of the garage right now is not any taller than if someone had put in a wood deck in the backyard. It would have been about the same height. That gives you some idea. The current garage there actually does exceed at one corner the 30-foot setback by a few feet, not very many. This is on the south end of the property. By the time you get to the north end, because of the way the house is sitting on the site, if we do have over 30 feet. That current garage also is quite narrow. The photographs sort of give you an idea that it might be larger than it is. Most of the garage, a big part of the garage door is underneath the walkway, that wooden walkway that takes you to the back door, and then that takes you onto the patio area. Our request is to extend the garage in only one direction, which is going to the northeast. We're not making it any deeper. The reason we're not is because the underground utilities for the entire neighborhood, as you see, there's a line, horizontal line running across with the E in it. That's the underground utilities. So because of the odd shape of the garage, of the lot, oh, great, thank you. Right. This is the electrical underground service here. The house was placed on a 50-foot front setback and just enough room to get a modest 10-foot wide driveway is on the south side. And the reason why the house is this much closer to the property line, I believe, is because of this utility line. Our reason for expanding the garage at the time is that the garage was made out of concrete with reinforced steel as a part of the materials, and over the 60, 70 years it's been around, it's beginning to deteriorate. So we're replacing the garage with a similar kind of construction. We've enlarged it so it'll be wide enough for two cars, not three, but just two cars. We want to preserve some of the backyard. As you see, there's a formal garden, and gardening is one of the important parts of the family's life. They like to garden there. So the primary reason for requesting the variance is because of the odd shape of the lot. It's not a rectangular lot. Because it narrows so much as you go toward the east, it gives us very little room in order to relocate the garage in any way. Because we have the underground utilities, we're not allowed to take advantage of that area of the property as well. So it's really left us with this. The only solution was to expand the garage where it is, not increase the amount of concrete so we still have some open space, and not change the overall design of the patio so that it fits with the existing house, as well as it provides a landscaped area for the neighbors.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
One of the things that's required is you're supposed to, we require you to demonstrate that if failure to approve the application would constitute an unnecessary hardship upon the property owner.
Well, certainly they've been living with the house with the garages there now for some time, but it is beginning to fall apart. It really is. The inside is showing the typical signs of steel reinforcing that's rusting. It's causing the concrete to disintegrate. So if we were not able to rebuild the garage, we simply would not be able to, have, even in its current location, it would be very difficult to go to that kind of expense and end up with just what is essentially a one-car garage right now. I understand that having a garage is not necessarily would be considered.
Well, in your favor, though, a number of years ago, we were instructed by then the person who held Mr. Gandhi's job at the time that people in University City are entitled to a garage, and we have to, even though it's not in the code necessarily, we should take that into consideration. So your hardship system sense then would be that if we don't approve this, the family will not be able to have a usable garage.
That is absolutely correct. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Very well.
Okay. Zach, you want to state the city's position?
Yes. Regarding the request for the variance to decrease the required setback from the 30 feet required to 20 feet, staff recognizes that the shape of the lot creates a unique circumstance in comparison to surrounding properties and a hardship due to the reduced space in the rear yard in comparison to typical lots in this area, including the utility easement to the north that further reduces the amount of buildable space, and also that there are no apparent detrimental impacts on surrounding properties and There have been no objections from neighbors. Based on that, staff has no objection to the proposed variance.
Thank you. I'll formally ask for, actually first, before that, let me ask for board comments on site visits. Mike, did you make a site visit?
I did not.
Okay, did not, okay. Peggy, did you make a site visit?
John, I did make a site visit last, I believe it was Wednesday evening. I did not have any interaction with the homeowners or any of the neighbors.
Okay, thank you.
And I left written documentation of that with Andrea.
Okay, thank you. Kathy?
I visited the site today, and Mrs. Clifford showed me the backyard. I first asked her if she could get two cars in that garage, and she said no. I remarked that everything was very clear in the handouts, and I had no questions about the visible visit. Her neighbor happened to be there, the neighbor on this side that owns the brick wall. And she stated she had just sent the board a letter saying she had no objections to the project. Her only concern was if her brick wall, and I said, well, that was a separate issue with her contractor. We all agreed, I mean, obviously. I was curious about the odd shape of the lots, and so Mrs. Clifford let me go back to see the odd, how I was wondering what was behind that wall back there, and the adjacent property is even odder than her lot, and which just convinced me even further that the project, there was not going to be any concern for the project. And then I was there maybe about 7 minutes, and that was about it.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to ask you to turn your written copy into Mr. Dante to put in the files. Okay, as for myself, November 11th, as board chair, I called the owner and arranged for a site visit by other board members as well as myself. The owner said she'd like to be home during site visits, but it's okay having board members come when she's not home. She's notified neighbors that this might be happening. The next day, November 12th, I visited the site and talked with the owner. She took me into the terrace over the garage for an overview of the yard and where the underground utilities are. She volunteered information about an alternate plan they thought about that would have entailed two separate one-car garages. However, the cost of this was too high, and the intrusion of the backyard setback for one of the separate garages would be much more than a current variance request. We proceeded to ground level, and I walked off how much a proposed expanded garage included in the backyard. Here she mentioned that the 80-year-old garage has been leaking for years and has gotten to the point where structurally it needs to be replaced. And as I was leaving, she mentioned that the neighbor across the street would like to attend a hearing in favor of the application, but could not. I suggested to her that she should ask the neighbor to send an email to Zach and that he would pass it on to all board members. Okay, so all board members now have heard the comments from everybody who did a site visit. I need to ask you, notice nobody here. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to make any comment? Not hearing any replies.
John, yes. I would like to read for the record.
Yes, please.
Two additional. So as I mentioned, there was the email that was submitted by the property owner across the street, and that was sent to all board members. But we just received these this evening before the meeting. First, from Suzanne Stanley at 580 Purdue, the property adjacent to the north. She states, to whom it may concern, I live next door to David and Judy Clifford, and I support their project to expand their garage. The expansion will not impact me or my property in any negative way. When the garage is a true two-car garage, the Cliffords will no longer need to park one car on the street. This will not only benefit them, it will benefit the appearance of the neighborhood. And then from Patricia Little, who owns the adjacent property to the east, 7287 Greenway, she states, dear members of the Board of Adjustment, I am the neighbor immediately to the east of David and Judy Clifford, who reside at 7295 Greenway Avenue. I have no problem with the Clifford's request for obtaining a variance to the rear yard setback requirement in order to rebuild and expand the size of their attached garage. In fact, I believe their project will enhance the value of their property in the neighborhood.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll close the public hearing. Discussion by the board.
Mr. Chair, one question for clarification.
Speaker's not on.
Oh, sorry. One question for clarification in terms of the standards for granting variance. So is that the condition is unique to the property in question and not ordinarily found in the zoning district, correct?
Right, and that can apply to the shape of the property. Really, it means the shape of the property itself, yeah. Generally.
So if I'm looking at this aerial view, I see 7286, 580, 7295, 7287, 7298 across the street, 587 on the opposite corner with the green roof. I'm seeing a lot of properties in this particular, you know, just in this half block that are similar shapes. I mean, they're oddly shaped. Acknowledge they're not straightforward rectangles, but I'm wondering about the definition of unique to the property in question.
One of the things that the other properties that may have that same shape may not be experiencing is the underground utility issue, which would make it unique to that particular parcel.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Just some comment on what Ms. Holly stated. The zoning ordinance does state unique to the zoning district, and the single-family residential district encompasses a vast amount of properties across the city. We have a zoning map behind us here, which shows a majority of the properties that are zoned in the city are zoned single-family residential.
I would say the vast majority of properties in this University City are all rectangular or square or something in shape. So what this is gets into the partially unique, wholly unique, or whatever thing. It's certainly different.
I think unique is
different from all the other, the vast majority of properties in the zoning.
This one's got a pink dotted line around it.
But I agree with Mr. Kovornik's comment that there's electric utilities in there also, that the others don't have, is really pushing the issue on this one, confining them to this particular narrow space. And that in by itself, I think we can say meets the uniqueness requirement. But you raise it. Let me discuss it with you after. But you raised a good question about this uniqueness, and we've gone through this in the past a number of times. It's a sticky point at times. But this property is certainly different, and it does have the utility lines going through it. And it's not your particular squared off property by any means. And we're faced with a lot of these, with the garages that are old that need to be replaced, and which did not meet the setback requirements at the beginning because there were none. And so they're grandfathered in that way. Anything else? Any other questions?
I'd just like to make another comment. What also makes...
Keep your thing off. Turn it on.
The other neighbor's property, if this isn't a whole piece of pie, it's like the other neighbors got that first piece of chunk of pie there, and the their property winds around to the back, and their property doesn't go all the way back, like most of them, all the others kind of do to kind of equal things out. Those are two very unusual pieces of our plats, or however you want to say it. I mean, very very unusual, that whole back thing for the adjoining neighbor.
Yeah, I guess. Normally, one would expect it, when this is laid out, that this property line here would have gone back here,
right. Giving
7295 this whole area, and we wouldn't be having this discussion tonight. Instead, they didn't do that. They put this little rectangular section here, the garage right there, and it's going to be interesting when these people come up to the place of the garage. But yeah, this is... typically, all the others you look at, this one's got a triangle going back, that's got a triangle, and they're really go straight back there to the point. Any other comments? Well, let me take a straw vote on this right now so that we don't put Mrs. Clifford in any problems here. Mike?
I'd vote in favor of the variance.
Okay. Kathy? Take your finger, push it down and take your finger off. Quickly.
Okay. I approve the variance.
Peggy?
I appreciate the need to replace the garage, that there are challenges with the structural deterioration. I'm having trouble with the hardship that requires that it be increased by 50%.
Okay. Mr. Sparks, can you please want to address that point for her?
I certainly do. It's really not 50%. I don't know where the garage currently
gone
is.
Gone from 19
existing.
Feet
the
to
current garage
26
is 19
eight.
Feet wide.
Yeah, going to 26.8. That's 7.
And it is, but the first 4 feet of the garage next to the house is not usable as a garage to park an automobile because it is the passageway that leads to the door that goes in the basement as well as the steps that take you to the back door of the house, which is very unique. It's really not a garage. We have to, right now, the door to the garage, which is a much larger door than was probably there originally. This is the steps that take you to the back door. That's the only way to exit unless you go through at the very far end of the house and the formal end of the house. There is a pair of doors that walk out on grade. What you have to really look at the structure of this, there's actually a porch, an underground door that takes you to the lower level from the garage. That's that 4 feet or three and a half to 4 feet that I'm talking about. This garage door, which is a modern door, replaces something that was there originally, which probably was a pair of doors that maybe slid back and forth. And it is underneath the steps all the way up. So by the time you drive in, you only have room for one small car. They drive a Prius. It's not like a big, giant car. So that's what they're hoping for, is to be able to park two cars. And like most people, keep the things in the garage that they would like to have a place for. I have not designed a garage in 20 years that would be as small as this one is under any circumstance. We just would not do that. It's not recommended. It's not considered a proper standard for a house today. In fact, even going to a two-car garage is somewhat of a less than what most new homes today have. I mean, they typically will have at least a three-car garage. And it's just because of what people put in their garage as well as their automobiles. So granted, it's not, it's probably not a hardship to have a smaller garage to make it as large as we're going to, but then we end up with, well, what do you do with the bikes that are part of their lifestyle that they have? What do you do with their gardening equipment? What do they do with their lawnmower? Things like that. There's no room for it. It's just simply not enough space. So.
Having just done a garage project where we went vertical instead of horizontal, and most of those items are hanging. So I don't need, I'm coming at this with a little different perspective.
Right. If we went vertical, we would be blocking their view from their dining room windows, which are the only windows, that's the only light that comes into their space. I mean, there are a lot of homes in U City that have their garage pushed right up next to the house, granted, and they're full height and they have a gable roof. But what that does, it means the rooms that back up to that are useless rooms unless they're just really large and they could get light from someplace else. So.
Hey, you were still taking, I was still in a straw vote position, I guess. I know you've got these concerns.
Well,
can you turn your speaker on, please?
So let me go back and ask about the precedent that all University City residents are entitled to a garage. are they entitled to a two-car garage? Are they entitled to a three-car garage? Are they entitled to a four-car garage? And what does that precedent mean? Can you, I'm just looking for clarity.
Yeah, I understand. Staff, can you help us out here?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Great, this is going to look up the parking requirements, the on-site parking requirements, which aren't specific to garages, but will hopefully help provide some information.
Could I add one thing? There's been a lot of discussion about other houses in the neighborhood. Every one of them have a two-car garage. The two cars will fit in. So, I mean, we're only trying to be what everybody else has right now.
The parking requirements for detached single-family dwellings are 2 spaces for each unit.
Okay, thank you.
So if you're putting up a new house, you'd require 2 parking spaces for each house going in or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine, thank you, that helps.
Yes,
Does it satisfy you? Okay, so we're still taking a straw vote. I would vote in favor of approval here. I need to know, is Ms. Holly in favor or not?
I think in light of the 2 space requirement, although theoretically that can be done as, it's 2 spaces, it can be done as surface or whatever, I would vote to approve.
Okay, so let me take that. We have 4 votes, and I'll take that as a formal vote. Approval 4-0 in favor, and your variance is granted. Okay, and I think we need to discuss among us some requirements too. Thank you, Mr. Porter. We are done. The meeting is adjourned. Michael.